We are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. We have an early edition of the wake up call that needs to happen right now. It is
myself.
I want to shout out to listener that boy Dizzy for asking me about the AP poll that I just read. Turns out it was a different poll. It was like a from the publication I was reading, it was their own poll. So the actual AP poll, I'll just run through the top five again.
Oh, I was commenting on the AP poll.
I was, you
were. I said, yeah, Georgia at 2 and LSU at 8.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't even hear
you. No, it's one of those things where I'm reading the same thing he is. I'm reading the AP poll, and then I kind of caught the end. I think he said Georgia at 5, and I was like, yeah, Georgia at 2. Seems like a runaway train.
I just want to make sure everybody's on their toes. That's all. Oregon at 1, Georgia 2, Penn State 4, Ohio State – or Penn State 3, Ohio State 4, and Texas 5. So I'm going to stop there because, yeah, I quit. So anyway, let's bring you back to the present.
Okay, today. That makes sense of why someone's like – why Jacob is hitting me up on Twitter like – ESPN has Georgia too, and I'm like, yeah, the AP does. Yeah, and then he sends me the AP poll, and I go, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Now it makes sense.
Now you know. You don't have to go to a Twitter war. See, I caused a fight, and I didn't even mean to do it because
you out here.
I have not completed a cup of coffee yet, and that seems to be the root of most of my problems in the morning. So
we're going to need you to chug coffee, ride the Peloton, whatever you got to do so you read the right poll.
That's, you know, so just want to make sure you guys are out there really listening. So back to the Falcons.
You didn't realize it was sports trivia with Tiffany.
Bucks. Sport, yay, sports. That's what my girlfriends say that don't follow.
Jeez.
Yay, sports. I'm going to get one of those sweatshirts. All right, Falcons and Buccaneers, big matchup on Sunday. We went through some of the injuries that are going on with the Buccaneers team stemming from Monday Night Football. We saw Mike Evans go down with a hamstring. Unfortunately, they lose Chris Godwin, who had a severe ankle injury, dislocated ankle. So, again, he's probably out for Sunday. We're not sure what the stats will be for Evans. Vita Vea, though, coming into that game, also dealing with a hamstring injury, but he did play.
Yeah. I'm curious to get you guys' take. I know there's been a couple of articles. I think CBS had one. ESPN, it was kind of the headline as far as the Chris Godwin goes. It's like a lot of people looking past kind of the Baltimore win last night in this game and just saying, should Chris Godwin have been playing at this point in the game? I don't have a problem with it. It's a 10-point game at that point. I understand kind of some of the hesitations with it, but I think they're thinking if they can get a quick strike and maybe get an onside, which they already had at that point. But I know that Buccaneers fans are frustrated with the fact that with a minute left in a 10-point game, you now lose one of your best players. I didn't have a problem with it. I don't know how you guys felt.
I'm a little bit torn on it because they had – Baltimore pulls their starters offensively, and they left their starters in defensively because Tampa had their starters in. That's why Roquan was in there. He's the one that made the tackle on Chris Godwin, not intentionally to hurt him. He just made the tackle, and it just kind of happened. So I'm a little torn on it because it felt a little garbage time-ish at the fact that it was like 41 to, I think, 10 or 18 or something at one point.
Yeah.
And you kind of got a few touchdowns that were just, again, you felt like they were just kind of playing off and you had called off the dogs offensively. But if you think you can win as a head coach and you know the importance of the game because you win that game, you're in first place in the division instead of a tie that you're actually out of with a tiebreaker currently, yeah. Then I don't have a problem with it. It is definitely up for question considering it was at one point 41 to 18. So it's definitely up for a question because you've already lost Mike Evans. Do you need Chris Godwin in there to score against a prevent defense and move the ball?
I'm also curious what their depth chart looked like during the game. I mentioned it, some of their depth pieces at wide receiver were out last night, and you're also out Mike Evans. I don't know that in the time that, you know, what that wide receiver room looks like given that point in the game. Not saying you're wrong. I understand where you're coming from, but they just recovered an onside kick. They're 10 points down. There's a minute left. If you can get Chris Godwin to maybe break free right there, maybe you do it again getting field goal. You're not that far out of the realm of possibility at that point.
But they came in as healthy as they've been at wide receiver because when we played them, Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan, two guys that they want up and that are going to get time in their system with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin healthy or not, were on the field. Were playing last night, and they were down when we played them. So they had to elevate Sterling Shepard from the practice squad when we played them. So I think they felt better about their wide receiver room going into the game last night. But then Mike Evans obviously aggravates that hamstring, and then the unfortunate injury to Chris Godwin. I mean, I just see it an opportunity here for us defensively to maybe play coverage different and maybe help generate some more pass rush with two, let's just, I don't know other way to put it, big play threats out of the game. Now, Joe McMillan can stretch the field himself, but he hasn't yet to this point.
So if you're looking at the other side of the ball, what are the possibilities of Vita Vea somehow isn't able to go? He was dealing with the hamstring going into Monday Night Football. He did play in the game. We'll have to learn more about what his status is the rest of the week. But again, he's a big, big component of the Bucs defense. So Coach Raheem Morris talked to Dave Archer on the Coach's Show about how they can try to stop him.
You know, we joked the other day when we had that mix-up, and Bijan almost passed him by thinking, no way I got this guy, and he did not. So, you know, no matter how many times you see that, he's not responsible for him. But Bijan was thinking the same thing. But, you know, Vita is one of those guys you got a game for him. You got a game plan for him. You got to get hands on him across the board. You got to make sure he's double-teamed when you can. He's powerful. He's strong. He can play the run. He can play the pass. And we don't need him crawling on us again. You know, he's a very good player that can make a lot of plays, and we got to find a way to limit his effectiveness on the game, no matter what he's doing.
Hey, we actually talked about that play the Friday after the game.
Yep.
Because, Tiff, I don't know if you remember the play, but Vita Vea is, it's almost like some type of kind of little stunt with him. And McGarry and Lindstrom just let him go. And Bijan's like, that's one of those, oh, blank, because that's 350 pounds.
Yeah, what happened is, and actually this defense has kind of popped up a little bit, the double A gap mugs. I know a lot of Georgia fans paid attention because they did this a number of times against Texas the other night with the linebackers walking up in the A gap. And as a lineman, one of the first things you're always supposed to do is protect the A gap. Well, Tampa, knowing that, you know, what Atlanta was going to try to do when Chris Lindstrom is like, I'm going to protect the A gap. I don't want to, you know, ask the running back to step up in front of the A gap all the time. They put Vita Vea in the B gap. They're like, hey, if Chris Lindstrom's going to block the A gap when we walk up the double A gap mug, let's get Bijan on Vita Vea, and it's good. And we've said this a number of times, both of us. Bijan's the best blitz pickup running back in the NFL right now, in my opinion. But he ain't blocking Vita Vea. I mean, that's a dude that literally weighs twice as much as him.
Well, as it turns out, Lindstrom and McGarry and Neusel and Bergeron, they all have trouble blocking Vita Vea.
I would be curious, and I know this is going way too deep in the I would be curious to know at what level the mistake was. Is it a scheme thing? Is it a game plan? Is it a simple miscommunication between O-line coach and Zach Robinson? Is it like, because that happens. I mean, well, people don't understand. That happens. That happens all the time where you're like, man, they got us there. How can we fix that?
Could it be simple as, miscommunication at the line of scrimmage where maybe something was switched? An assignment was switched with a blocking assignment and someone just missed it?
It could be. It didn't. That play to me did not look like that. It looked like a rule that you fall back to and fall back to and fall back to, or maybe McGarry is supposed to add into the B gap at some point, but sometimes they're not. Like a rule you fall back to, and then when you realize, I mean, the worst case scenario, if you have that rule in place, is for a 350 whatever pound Vita Vea to be in the B gap against Bijan. Like, that's the worst possible thing that can happen.
If we don't know where Bergeron, what his health is at this point, he went out with a neck, he didn't come back, neck injury. I am worried with that guy in the middle, with Neusel, and if it's Kyle Hinton or Matt Hennessy or Elijah Wilkinson. I think Bergeron has really, really progressed into a good player. And it's not a knock on any of those guys. I just think there's a reason why Bergeron's a starter, because I think he's better. It worries me that with Vita Vea, because he can make things rough in the run game and the pass game.
Yeah, I feel like, to your point, that as far as the run game goes, this has to be your best game plan. Like, you have to put your best game plan forth if you are going to have to run with Kyle Hinton at left guard. And now, granted, we talked about it in the postgame. Kyle Hinton has made numerous starts in Atlanta Falcons uniform. Started right guard for, what, 3 games last year? Maybe even more than that. He's a serviceable player. It was curious to me to see Matt Hennessy be put at center but not left guard during the game. That was kind of interesting to me. Matt Hennessy was, going into camp last year, you're starting left guard for the Atlanta Falcons and has started numerous games there. So that was kind of curious. But I will just say, I think Kyle Hinton's a good player. I think Zach Robinson has to help them out. If that's what you're going to go with, backup left guard and what is backup center, you're going to have to do some things. And I don't know if it's like a wham blocking scheme or if Charlie Warner is able to insert himself there, or maybe you can just, I don't know, get him tired. But at some point, you're going to have to
straight up double team him.
Well, and that's easier said than done, because a lot of times double teams, you got to come off of the linebacker. He does a nice job of folding back into the play off the double teams. Sometimes for guys like that, it's better left just putting him on an island against a guy and then just saying, hey, let's create some space and see if you can move laterally fast enough to be able to do that. So I think they've got to be able to help him out, to your point, if Kyle Hinton's going to be the guy at left guard for sure.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. It is week 8 now of the NFL season, and the injuries have been piling up. Some superstars will be missing in action this weekend. We're going in the huddle next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.